All right, everybody, it is time for your mailbag here on the WWE podcast. And let's hear what you guys thought about the pay-per-view, about WrestleMania Backlash. And we are now in Hell in a Cell season. Yep, that got switched from Money in the Bank. But let's hear what you guys think. What's on your mind? What do you have to rant about? What questions do you have? Let's get into the mailbag right after this.
Hey, so if you guys haven't listened to the podcast Long Shot Leaders yet, you're missing out. And you may ask, what's so special about this podcast? Well, number one, it is hosted by Michael Stein. He's an entrepreneur, actor, filmmaker, comedian, and self-help expert. And he's come up with a really great idea for his show. What he does is tell stories of underdogs who found success. For example, some of his guests that he's had on, Sean Spector, he's the co-founder of Gamefly and Dropoff. Bruce Valanche, he's a six-time Emmy Award winner, writer, and actor. And most recently, he interviewed former WWE writer Vince Russo, and the conversation was awesome. I mean, we got insight from Vince that I have not heard from any other podcast, including what he believes makes a great wrestler, why some people can't stand Vince Russo today because of the on-screen heel character that he played. And he talked about something that means even more to him than the massive ratings that occurred during the Attitude Era. So guys, go check out Long Shot Leaders with Michael Stein. It's available on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. It's already got a perfect 5-star rating. I mean, that's unheard of with podcasts. So go check out Long Shot Leaders with Michael Stein. There is such a great diversity of hosts and topics that it will definitely inspire you, and you'll be able to find something that you can relate to. So go check out Long Shot Leaders today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis.
Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
Hey everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast Mailbag. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to listen to us, and it's time to give you guys a voice, literally, not just figuratively, when it comes to this mailbag show. If you'd like to participate, by the way, you can do that in a couple of ways. Of course, you can always email us at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or, of course, the preferred version is by voice. You can call us at 518-952-0247. And we do have a handful of voicemails today, not a whole lot of emails, but I would like to invite you to head on over to Patreon if you want to get priority support, so to speak, or priority placement in these mailbags. You can send your questions to me directly and you get placed first in the mailbag. And so just an FYI there, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Plus, I mean, there's just really a crap load of other benefits to joining the podcast over on Patreon. So, okay. Beyond that, of course, ad-free for all episodes, which is so nice, right? When there's no ads, it's just so nice. You don't have to skip and all that kind of stuff. I get it completely. So, all right, let's get into those emails here as I'm clicking around, making sure I am actually organized for this show. And, okay, our email today comes to, and this is, I believe, our only email, which is insane. You guys are quiet this week. Terry, of course, Terry from Tennessee, Springfield, Tennessee. Oh, gosh. Okay. Terry says, zombies, zombies, zombies. I know Vince is trying to promote that movie, but come on. His audience is not a bunch of 10-year-olds. That part of the match was straight trash can water. But anyways, when Riddle came out with Randy Orton during his entrance, it was hilarious. And when Kofi Kingston and told Orton he had reptile dysfunction, it was funny. As well, they made Kofi look strong on Monday by pinning Orton and Lashley, so I'm sure he's next in line for a title shot. And if he does get one, what part will Drew play in the title scene? Because it seems like he's still trying to be in the title picture. Okay, Terry, thank you for your questions. So yes, it was, as you say, straight trash can water. God, that's so gross of an image, isn't it? Imagine what's at the bottom of a public trash can if it's like liquefied. Oh my God. That's, yeah. So that is a perfect analogy for what happened with that segment. you know, at the same time, I'm not surprised that they did something like this. I ranted about this with the Botch guy on Sunday night following the WrestleMania Backlash pay-per-view. And it was just a complete abomination. There's no other way to put it. I mean, are we really going to be bringing zombies in? It's an embarrassment, a complete embarrassment by WWE to bring in zombies as if, and have the announcers sell it as if they're real zombies. That's the worst part of it, right? Like if they were talking about how this is part of the crew and they must have had some extras that are zombies, I could understand it. But they couldn't just promote a movie normally. I mean, they couldn't just do this where Batista comes on, and he did, I know, at the beginning of the pre-show, but where he just promotes it and gives somebody a Batista mom and he's there to promote the movie. I mean, The Rock has done that many times where he's essentially there to promote a movie. So I don't understand it. And this was a complete net loss. As you said, I don't know who exactly they were trying to target there, or if they didn't care and it was just they got a lump of cash to promote the movie. Either way, it was, as you say, trash can water. So yeah, with Randy coming out during Orton, or Riddle coming out during Orton's entrance, it was, you know, it is kind of big brother, little brother type of dynamic, and that's what makes it work. But when Riddle's by himself, it's bad. Orton is making him palatable. Agreed. Kofi telling Orton he had reptile dysfunction. Yeah, I mean, again, I think it comes down to subjective humor here. I'm not a big Kofi Kingston fan. That was a clever line. Obviously a play on erectile dysfunction, as we all know, but it was clever. And it did make me at least kind of internally chuckle. They did make Kofi look strong they made him look strong from the perspective that he got two wins. But don't forget, the wins he got were extremely tainted. They were not victories of real glory to gloat about. I mean, with Lashley, we had McIntyre interfere. Orton got rolled up by Kofi. So, you know, none of these were really, I guess, very honorable victories for Kofi Kingston, and yet he is somehow being plunged into the title picture, assumingly. But if Drew is not in the title picture, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I want to know what they think they can do with Drew when he's not chasing the WWE Championship. They have to have something in mind for him beyond his obsessive goal of always being in the title picture, which I think fans are becoming very weary of. It's been a year and a half now since we've seen him in a title picture, hunting one, chasing one, defending one. And it's time for him to move on to something else, because as we all know, programs are not always built around championships. Sometimes the best programs are not. So yes, let's see what WWE can do without it. I don't know what Drew will do without it. Maybe he is in one final matchup here in Hell in a Cell. I don't know. They have 4 more weeks to build it. We shall see. But thank you, Terry. And we will talk to you next week. Okay. Now I have a voicemail that actually somehow, I don't know how this happened, came to my personal number. I don't know how this happened. It came through a voicemail to my personal number, but I'm going to just play this from my phone's microphone, or my phone's speakers, to my microphone here. So it's not going to be super high quality, but that's the easiest way that I could do this. So let's go to voicemails right now and see exactly who this is from Texas.
Hey, man. How's it going? Just listened to the podcast not too long ago. Today is actually Sunday, WrestleMania Backlash, so that's pretty cool. I guess what I'm asking, man, is like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't find Asuka appealing. I don't really think Bobby Lashley has had a good run as champion. I think breaking up the Hurt Business was just terrible. Although MVP helped, I think it's been a little underwhelming. I'm not trying to be too negative. And then The Fiend, man, like, I just don't understand. Like, he comes on the episode after WrestleMania, so it's a fresh new start, and he hasn't been seen since. Like, what do you think is up with that? And then they just hand Alexa Bliss the gimmick, and the Fiend is nowhere to be found. Like, I don't know, man. I just think Bray Wyatt deserves so much better than that. Some of it is a little stupid, but, I mean, I think overall it's entertaining. And anyways, man, I would like to see Alexa Bliss, though, become Raw Women's Champion again. That'd be pretty cool. But anyways, enjoy WrestleMania Backlash, man, and I'll catch you on the next one. Later.
All right. Well, I didn't catch your name. I don't think you stated a name, but it was area code 817. From Weatherford, Texas. So whoever you are, I thank you for your call. I have no idea how it got routed to my actual personal cell phone. I don't know. But anyway, so The Fiend. What a conundrum, right? The Fiend is an absolute disaster right now, at least in shambles from the WrestleMania payoff, which I say payoff very lightly. I'll just say the conclusion of the Randy Bray Wyatt storyline that was on every level an absolute mess. And here's what I do know. It is now been confirmed by many wrestling news sites that are credible. I think even Bray Wyatt had said himself that he's having issues with the death of John Huber, Luke Harper. And I think that a lot of his disappearance right now has to do with his mental health. And if that's the case, and I do truly believe it to be the case, then I would say take as much time as you need, man, right? There are a few things in this world that will humble you faster than death. Because, as we all know, it's coming for all of us. I'm not trying to be morbid or be a downer. But none of us will escape it. And, you know, you can go through life, many long periods of life where it seems like it's gone away, that, you know, that either you will never experience it or your friends and family, everyone's good. And then all of a sudden, boom, right? Something happens and it brings you back to the, you know, ground level. And, I think that Bray Wyatt, who was very close with John Huber, is just struggling with it. And I do wish him the best. I don't care how long he's out. I really don't, because it's not like The Fiend is a hot commodity right now. He was severely damaged by WrestleMania. So secondarily, of course, the wrestling piece of this, I don't think it's a bad thing that he's off right now, considering the absolute just disaster that was the WrestleMania match and payoff. So it does kind of fit nicely that he's taking time for his mental health, but also it's a great time for the character to just disappear. And hopefully by the time he returns, we all are just, we've all made our peace with the WrestleMania thing. We can all just say, oh, okay, can we just pretend that didn't happen and move on? I hope that happens. So yeah, that's the reason why Bray Wyatt is out. So yes. Okay. Thank you for your voicemail. And let's keep them rolling.
Hello, mate. How are you? This is Sharon from Israel. Yes, in Israel, it was a really weird 2 weeks that I had with all the... I don't know if you heard that we had kind of a little war or army thing that happened here with rockets on us and alarms. Yes, so finally I found time to record this voicemail, and gotta say that wrestling was a really good thing for me during this time. It was a kind of escapism. I could see wrestling and forget about the situation and have a better time while watching it. I wanted to speak about a few things. First of all, I know that you are not watching NXT, but I gotta say that NXT is much more of a fun show than Raw and even SmackDown. It's more of a consistent show. Yeah, it has more depth in it. It has more superstars. And it gives more places to the fighting thing instead of just the entertainment. And in just 1 hour, I mean, it's less time than Raw or SmackDown. So yeah, I really like NXT, and every time that they get a superstar that come from NXT to the main roster, I'm getting really frustrated because they are making it so bad. Look at Keith Lee, look at Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Shayna Baszler, and the list just go on and on. So yeah, please don't get any other NXT superstar to the main roster. I even think that you shouldn't call it like a main roster, because NXT is a great brand by itself, yet has a lot of titles and a lot of history and legacy. So yeah, another thing, I don't know what to do with Raw, really. It's just a bad show. It has so much of a bad theme. Drew McIntyre, you're just going with the championship picture with from the last Royal Rumble from 2 years ago. I mean, even we had it from before the pandemic era, and nothing really happens on this show, and it's bad because it has a lot of potential. Think on Bray Wyatt, think on the Alexa Bliss. You can think about a lot of wrestlers that can do really good things, but man, oh man, Raw is such a bad thing nowadays. Yeah, so anyway, I think that maybe now with the time after WrestleMania and the time after Hell in a Cell, we'll get new feud and new things and we'll be more excited. I just can hope for that. So yeah, thank you, Matt. See you next time. Bye.
Sharon, it's great to hear you once again here on the show. First and foremost, let me just say that I hope you and your family are staying safe from things we're seeing on the news. It looks like, I mean, it does look like war. And I mean, it is, right? So whatever you're doing, I hope that you and your friends and family stay safe during, you know, the insanity over there. Now on to less important things, of course, wrestling. NXT, yes, I don't watch it. That doesn't mean I don't know what's going on and who people are. I'm not as well versed in somebody that watches it on a weekly basis and watches every minute of it, but it doesn't mean I don't understand what NXT is and means. And you bring up some good points. NXT is just a flat-out better show for the reasons you stated. Consistency, depth, length of time of the show. Big, big one right there. It's less entertainment. It's more wrestling. The transitions to the main roster, as you said, are often not well done. They're often short sighted. They don't seem to have long-term visions for anyone that comes up. Like you said, Keith Lee, where in the hell is he? We don't know. It's not COVID. It's got to be injury / creative / money. I don't know. As Jim Ross always says, it's one of the two C's, creative or cash. And perhaps it's both. Maybe there's a third item there, but I haven't heard boo about Keith Lee. Yes, and among others that have been really just not well transitioned up. Rhea Ripley, I think, is doing terribly, or at least WWE has positioned her terribly from what she meant in NXT to the jump to the Monday Night Raw roster. She just doesn't feel like a huge deal, so to speak, and she doesn't feel like she is one with that championship. It's like she's carrying somebody else's belt. Doesn't it feel that way? It doesn't feel like she's really the Raw Women's Champion. And I hate to say that because Rhea Ripley's a great talent. It's a weird feeling with Rhea Ripley and the Raw Women's Championship right now. But Raw, like you said, it oftentimes has bad elements to the show. I wouldn't say the entire show is bad. I think that's unfair. But the 3-hour length, as we all know, is just god-awful. The fact that Drew McIntyre, your top babyface, just will not leave the title picture is a big problem, as I alluded to many times in the last few shows. And I think what will help, although not a cure-all, are when fans return in a couple of months. Because WWE does plan on bringing back fans. They seem to be going back full-time on the road in 2 months. So mid-July, they should be, around Extreme Rules time, back on the road. And when fans are there, it adds more to the at-home experience. There's no more pumped-in fake crowd noise. It is your heart and soul back live every single week for every show. And that is what I think will help in a big, big way. So Sharon, I feel you. I hear your concerns, your problems with NXT, or I'm sorry, the main roster, as we quote call it. I know that you don't like saying that. I know what you mean, though. NXT is its own respectable brand on its on its own merit. But when you look at ratings, I mean, you could say the main roster is Raw and SmackDown because the ratings are better, higher, right? So until NXT's ratings come up, and total viewership is on equal footing with Raw and SmackDown, it's hard to say that Raw and SmackDown aren't the main roster. So, Sharon, thank you so much. And again, stay safe. It is crazy out there. So, all right. Well, everybody, we're going to take a quick break and give some love to the sponsor of this episode. But on the other side, we've got, of course, more voicemails for you to listen to for your enjoyment. And so stay right here.
Hey, so if you guys haven't listened to the podcast Long Shot Leaders yet, you're missing out. And you may ask, what's so special about this podcast? Well, number one, it is hosted by Michael Stein. He's an entrepreneur, actor, filmmaker, comedian, and self-help expert. And he's come up with a really great idea for his show. What he does is tell stories of underdogs who found success. For example, some of his guests that he's had on, Sean Spector, he's the co-founder of Gamefly and Dropoff. Bruce Valanche, he's a 6-time Emmy Award winner, writer, and actor. And most recently, he interviewed former WWE writer Vince Russo, and the conversation was awesome. I mean, we got insight from Vince that I have not heard from any other podcast, including what he believes makes a great wrestler, why some people can't stand Vince Russo today because of the on-screen heel character that he played. And he talked about something that means even more to him than the massive ratings that occurred during the Attitude Era. So guys, go check out Long Shot Leaders with Michael Stein. It's available on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. It's already got a perfect 5-star rating. I mean, that's unheard of with podcasts. So go check out Long Shot Leaders with Michael Stein. There is such a great diversity of hosts and topics that it will definitely inspire you, and you'll be able to find something that you can relate to. So go check out Long Shot Leaders today.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Okay, let's get to the next voicemail. I believe this is Justin from Maryland. So, Justin, take it away.
Hey, man, this is Justin from Maryland. I know I'm a little early. I want to call after the pit review this Sunday, but I was on Twitter and I saw Bray Wyatt trending, and I saw that he's apparently taking time off from WWE because he's dealing with mental health issues regarding the passing of Brody Lee. And now that I read that, I kind of take back of what I thought of the Fiend. It seems like that they changed the plans. He was originally supposed to beat Randy Orton, but he took time off and he came back and he didn't really feel ready to be back. So that's why they changed the plans for Randy to win as a way to write him off TV. So man, I just hope that, things get better for him so he can come back. The Fiend is a really cool character and Bray Wyatt is very talented. So just hope that, he gets through his mental health issues. We all know that that's a serious thing going on in the world. So just hope, he gets through that and he comes back. So that's it, man. Just want to let you know. I'm not sure if you or anyone heard about that. I just saw it on Twitter. So, and a lot of people are saying the same thing, that he's dealing with mental health issues, dealing with Brody Lee. So that's why he's not on Raw right now. So, yeah, man, I'll definitely be calling you next week about the pay-per-view. So, yeah, thanks, man.
Hey, Justin. I would have lumped your voicemails together. I didn't know you had two. But if you have another one, of course, we'll answer it later in the show. I alluded to this a little bit earlier in our show, and it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to deal with. And I think we all can say in unison, we all support Wyatt and however he's dealing with Brody Lee, John Huber, Luke Harper, however he's known to you, his death. And as I said, and I think everyone would echo, take as much time as you need, brother. You know, do what you need to do, get yourself back right, and we'll be here waiting when you come back. That is likely why they changed the WrestleMania plans to have Randy Orton win, because they knew that Wyatt wasn't going to be able to continue. And he probably told Vince, look, I can't do this anytime. I'm not here. I need to do my own thing. And the only thing I would say, you know, again, this is extremely selfish, and I'm talking about wrestling, okay? The man, the human being, I'm all supportive of. But from a wrestling perspective, if you are going to have Randy Orton win, fine. That's fine. You know, that's totally cool. But why would you just end it with a single RKO? I mean, there's ways to have Randy win that aren't so just completely deflating as a finish. And having Alexa Bliss sit there with a crown with black blood coming out of her head, it's like, well, how is that exactly turning on the Fiend? That's not turning on the Fiend. I mean, how is that? That was never explained what that was, why she did it, what the symbolism of it was. It was just like, what? So, yes, I understand the need to change it and to have Randy Orton go over, and that's fine. But the way they did it, they could have at least have it made sense. They made it make no sense. That's the biggest problem I had, was not Randy winning. You know, that's secondary. It's how the finish was set up that made no sense. So, again, I know we're talking about secondary things that don't matter, wrestling compared to death. I mean, come on. I understand that. But, yeah. Okay, Justin, thanks so much. Let's keep things going.
Hey, Matt, it's Brad from Pennsylvania. I got a real quick one for you today. It's Saturday night, the day before WrestleMania Backlash, whatever you want to call it. But I might have a little spoiler that WWE released themselves. I don't know if anybody else caught it. I don't know what it's going to have to do with anything. And by the time you play this and put it on your mailbag, if you do, if it's even relevant by then, because Backlash is going to happen tomorrow, and we already know what happens by the time anybody hears this. But anyway, WWE shop last night. The Nobody's B-I-T-C-H Jimmy Uso shirt. They're selling them on WWE shop. They're selling one that says Jimmy Uso on the back, and they're selling one that says Jey Uso on the back. They're selling Jimmy ones and Jey ones. So I don't know if that has anything to do with anything, if they're trying to send us on a little swerve, but just figured I'd put that out there. I hope they don't break up the bloodline. I really enjoy it. I think they should make it stronger, if anything. I heard Zelina Vega might be coming back. That would be awesome if they somehow put her with those guys. They probably won't, but I think that would be awesome. Maybe Angel Garza, anybody. I'd like to see them grow, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be just Samoan people, you know, like, I thought they were going to put Apollo. That seems to be mysteriously forgotten about when Apollo sat down and had that talk with Roman that day. But, hey, I don't know. I guess we'll just see what happens at WrestleMania Backlash, or like we call it, just Backlash tomorrow. But anyway, hope all's well, man. Take care. I'll see you.
Brad, thanks so much. And, you know, it's funny. WrestleMania Backlash came and went, and that is still a relevant piece of information. Because, as we know, we didn't see any interference from Jimmy or Jey, which I really liked, by the way, in that match. It solidified Roman. It made him feel like he could do it on his own. And heels don't always have to cheat to win. You can still be a total a-hole and beat your opponents clean. So that's still relevant. And I do believe that Jimmy and Jey are going to remain as a tag team, even though we're seeing dissent right now. I think Jimmy and Jey and Roman will go on an absolute tear. I know the official name isn't the Bloodline, but we're referring to them as the Bloodline because it's an awesome name. The Bloodline is a very, very great, it's a great name for a faction. And it makes sense. It makes sense that they're the Bloodline. So that's a great note. Still relevant, even a week later. Zelina Vega coming back, I heard that too. I hope so. I think she was an absolute asset to the show. Underutilized asset, great on the mic, great presence. Confidence. She had her own match or two before she left, and I think she was fine. So there is room for improvement there, but I'd never understood why she was let go. She was just sorely underutilized. And yeah, Apollo Crews talking to Roman Reigns, that was never addressed. However, I'll say that that did hint towards a heel turn. Now, whether at the time they meant that the heel turn was going to align himself with Roman Reigns, or it was just a hint that in general he's going to be turning heel, Will, we don't know. We don't know. But it was still accurate and did follow the timeline of events that Apollo Crews did turn heel shortly thereafter. So there is that, at least, that consistency. So, Brad, thank you, and we hope to hear from you next week.
Hey, man, this is Justin from Maryland. I just wanted to touch on last pay-per-view that just occurred. Overall, I think it was a good pay-per-view. All the matches, the outcome was what I thought it would win. But I kind of think it was the right call because you should wait. Maybe you should just have Charlotte take it off for her in the singles match. So just wanted to just want your thoughts on Hell in a Cell. So I thought it'd be Money in the Bank, but it's Hell in a Cell. So who do you want to see face Roman? I think they might try to do Jimmy against Roman. And, you know, since they did Jimmy against Jay Lash, the party will do that again. And if Jimmy loses, then he has to join Roman Reigns. Then that would be good. Bobby Lashley, hopefully he doesn't face Drew. But I'm not sure who he can face right now. Not Braun Strowman. And we saw how Drew wasn't pinned in the match. So, you know, maybe that would be the excuse to give him another opportunity. But we both agree that, you know, he needs to take a break. So that's it, man. I just wanted your thoughts on those ideas. And I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Justin. Welcome back. So quickly, I think that Roman Reigns does face Jimmy Uso. But it'll be, as you said, in a similar type scenario that Jay was in, where if he loses, he's out of the family. And that's what I think is going to happen. And Jimmy will fall in line with Jay, and they will go on an absolute tear as the bloodline. That's my thought for those three. I don't need to see a longstanding feud with Jimmy and Roman. It's just going to take some adjusting, some massaging to get Jimmy into the fold. That's what I think it's going to do. I think the Hell in a Cell main event is Jimmy versus Roman Reigns. I mean, you could also have Cesaro in there. You could have a triple threat, or you could just have straight up Cesaro versus Roman Reigns again. Given the beatdown of Cesaro this week with Seth Rollins, you would think that Seth Rollins and Cesaro are on a collision course, and Cesaro is going to veer off the WWE Universal Championship picture. So, yeah, that's what I think. As far as the Raw side of things with Bobby Lashley, well, it looks like Kofi Kingston is probably next in line. So I'm not a big fan of that. But they're really low on babyface star power, like super low on babyface star power. So they're just pulling from the well at this point. So, yeah, that's my thought. All right, Justin, thank you. And let's keep going.
Hey, my question is Kyle from Baltimore, Maryland. My question is about Damian Priest. A question about the team of Damian Priest. He's I need to move on from The Miz. Hopefully, what happened last night, he won in that weird match. I think after that, him to move on, him doing something different, feuding with probably Sheamus, I could see, and feuding with next, but he needs to move on. As far as Backlash itself, that was a good show, and thought that was happening tonight on Raw. They could just call hours before Raw at this point, so I don't know what's going to happen on Raw tonight, but then the Women's Tag Team Champs will champions will be on Raw tonight. Tag team champions, the women's tag team champions will be on Raw tonight. So I don't know for what reason to see Alexa Bliss, hopefully. And, you know, Alexa needs to, that does every week now, but she needs to do something. She's still saying she's going to wait to attack someone, but I'm looking forward to seeing what happens at that for that. But I just thought Backlash was great and look forward to see what happens on Raw tonight. But that was it.
Hey, Kyle. So I don't think there was a question buried in there, but I'm glad that you were looking for a Monday Night Raw. The one thing I'll say about Alexa Bliss, they need to do something with her. You know, I'm over the Lily thing at this point. I mean, it's all talk and no action. It's all theatrics and no substance. Her threats are getting less and less, less and less impactful as the weeks go on, and she doesn't do anything other than stare at people, and you hear Lily's laugh through the speakers. That's it. Yeah. That's all I'll say about that, because I'm a big fan of Alexa Bliss and what she's done, but it's now how many months since she has joined The Fiend, broken away from The Fiend, and yet has not had her own program. She just threatens to, but doesn't actually take action. It's time to take action, guys. Listen to the fans. Okay, WWE, listen. We're ready for Alexa to actually go into a program. So, okay, let's keep things going.
So, I've got several things to say. I don't know if I'll get them all in this one voicemail or not. First of all, they've hurt Rhea Ripley big time with their booking, bringing her in, giving her a championship right off the bat instead of building her. And now they keep letting Asuka get where it sounds like, looks like now she's going to get another chance at the title. I hope that's not the case, but if it is, I think the way they can fix what's going on with Rhea Ripley is that she completely just obliterates Asuka, and that Asuka could disappear for a while because she needs to go away, and she needs to disappear for a little bit and then come back. So we're like, oh, it's Asuka. She's back again. Woohoo. She needs to go away. Glad to see the title belts off of Nia and Shayna, but they should have caused some kind of rift between them so they could fight each other and move on so somebody else could get in there and go after the title belts. Totally tired of that. The whole ending Raw, well, first of all, the whole, I might go after Bobby Lashley. I might take him up on it. I mean, you had Damian Priest and all kinds of other guys all saying this throughout the show. Stupid. Since when did guys say, I might? No, you either you do or you don't. As soon as they said that, you're like, you know, you're not going to be challenging him. Nope, you're not going to be challenging him. And then Kofi Kingston comes out and challenges him? What a joke. Like, yeah, he kind of had a decent match, but not really. And honestly, I'm so tired of New Day. I want to see Xavier Woods do something. I think he's got the ability to talk on the mic. He's got the ability to be both a heel or a face easily. And I just want to see them split up. I want to see the New Day go completely away, and I want to see Xavier Woods get a push because I think he's got the ability to possibly be that kind of guy that could do that. I like to see Ricochet back in the ring, doing some more things, not just kind of on a side stupid thing. And I hope that they're going to take him somewhere. I hope they give him a decent gimmick that will actually work. And the match he had with Sheamus was great. But again, another guy that they're not using. So anyways, and then you got the whole Damian Priest. They're really blowing it with him. I know they try to blow him up and say, oh, he did great, did this, did that, all that kind of stuff. But no, he's been held down by Miz and Morrison. And they really need to split Miz and Morrison. Morrison needs to go on his own because I think he can succeed on his own without Miz. He doesn't need Miz. But I've said that before, and whatever. So anyways, take it easy, guys.
Hey there, Waz. So hope you're doing well. A lot of thoughts there, and I don't think you're wrong on really any of that as far as Xavier Woods goes. I mean, that was a really good point about Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods has really been the second fiddle to Big E and to Kofi Kingston over the last several years. And while I am as tired of the New Day as you are, I've been tired of the New Day for 5 years now, literally, and I don't think they'll ever break them up. At least Xavier could be a really good underdog story, and he could have his own program, as you said, a babyface or heel. And why not Xavier Woods? He's more worried about his trumpet than he is about winning any championships. So yeah, Xavier Woods could be awesome in that role instead of the, oh, Kofi Mania 2. Kofi does nothing for me. Nothing. I'm not a Kofi Kingston fan. I respect the guy. I do. I do respect him, but I'm not a fan of his character. To me, he is the worst part of the New Day and always has been. And I will stick by that. I know many of you completely disagree with me, but that's just the way I feel. But Asuka, your other point, I know you made several, but Asuka going away, also valid because Asuka needs a refresh. After her just absolutely disrespectful run, not any fault of her own, but her disrespectful run created by WWE itself as Raw Women's Champion, she needs a complete refresh. She needs to take some time, 6 months, 10 months, I don't care, or less, and just get out of the minds of fans. Come back late summer, early fall even. Rhea Ripley beating her down into a bloody pulp or something would be awesome. And it would put a heat on Rhea. It would give Asuka time off. And I think it would be great. But I don't know if WWE wants to do that, considering, you know, that they know how good of a hand Asuka is. They just don't give a damn to really push her or feature her when she's champion. It's a very weird feel when she was champion about how much they ignored her. But I think the best thing they can do is have her go away. Just go away and come back. As they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And there's really a lot of truth in that. So thank you so much. And we're getting down to our last few voicemails, guys. So here we go.
Hello, WWE Podcast World. Back at it again. This is none other than DJ Kuzmo. Before I begin, happy May 19th. Happy May 19th. Matt, I hope you're having a good, not so bad May 19th. You know the whole Twitter fiasco last year, but I hope you're having a good May 19th. Now let's talk about the pay-per-view. Now, I gotta say, first and foremost, I pretty much knew that all of the matches was gonna end at a specific outcome, and watching this pay-per-view, I kinda watched it as a casual wrestling fan. Shout out to just a casual wrestling fan. I pretty much knew that most of the matches would end the way they did. Everybody knew the Mysterios was going to win the tag team titles, and everybody knew that Roman Reigns, at the end of the day, was going to raise his hand in the air and still be our Universal Champion. But the biggest swerve of the night is that we get Hell in a Cell coming up next. Hell in a Cell is our next pay-per-view. Are you kidding me? I was getting all hyped up for Money in the Bank probably coming up in the month of June. Now we got Hell in a Cell in June. So that probably leads me to believe that probably they're bringing back No Mercy in October and maybe pushing back Money in the Bank to July. So overall, the pay-per-view was a casual type of pay-per-view. You know, it was pretty solid. The whole zombie fiasco, I mean, come on. You could have had the IC title match on the card. You know, you had Damian Priest and The Miz. But other than that, a pretty solid pay-per-view. You know, let's get ourselves away from this WrestleMania crap. And now let's head down to, I guess, the next pay-per-view is Hell in a Cell. So, I'm going to talk to you all next time and hope you're having a pretty good May 19th. Later.
All right, the always charismatic DJ Kuzmo, one of our most passionate listeners. Much love to you, my friend. So, thank you for the condolences on my May 19th date. It is not only Kane's least favorite date, but is also myself, as 1 year ago today, Twitter suspended my WWE podcast account. I had further circumvented them and created my wrestling_audio. But man, I have 45,000 followers on Twitter, and it has all been like demolished. It's hard to regrow it. So it is not fun. You know, it's that 1 year anniversary of a year ago today. I'm not happy about it. But that said, let's get into what your comments were, my friend. And you talked about Hell in a Cell. Yeah, we talked about this throughout the mailbag, as you heard. Hell in a Cell being right now is, I think there's reasons for it. There are reasons that I think it's due to fans coming back in July, and they want fans in attendance for the Money in the Bank briefcase. They feel that it's a better live experience than a Hell in a Cell match. I think that is that is their thinking. So with fans coming back in July, perhaps they do push it back to July, where maybe they move Extreme Rules. I mean, they're probably going to shuffle things around like crazy and try to make it fit their stories, and that's fine. You know, I am used to May being the Money in the Bank briefcase match, but if it's for good reasons with fans coming back, then fine, so be it. You know, so be it. I'm okay with that. But predictable. As far as the pay-per-view, I wrote predictability down as I was listening. The pay-per-view was predictable. I looked at the card and I said, we need to be careful because they could swerve us, and they really didn't swerve any. They didn't swerve us with almost anything. It was predictable, but let me ask you this. Was it the right call? I'm a proponent of doing the right thing versus being unpredictable for the sake of being unpredictable. And I think the majority of the finishes were the right call. So, yeah, I understand that people love unpredictability. And for some people, not you, but in general, some wrestling fans, it's all about the unpredictability, not necessarily the logic of the outcome. You know, it's all in the moment. Shock me, you know, awe me, surprise me, instead of what makes the most sense with this story. What makes the most sense to tell a coherent story? And I think a lot of fans sacrifice that for the in-the-moment shock me factor. And it's not a good way to do wrestling. So I agree, it was a predictable pay-per-view. I don't think anyone's going to go back and rewatch the pay-per-view in its entirety. It's not one of those. It's going to be a forgettable show, I think. Anyway, so, okay, let's continue on. I believe, now I said this last week and I lied, but I believe this is the final voicemail for this show. So let's see who it is.
Hey, Matt, it's Kyle from New York again. First off, sorry about last week. I wasn't on the mailbag last week because I just had a busy week at work. So I just had no time. That's my excuse. Anyway, so I watched WrestleMania Backlash. Overall, I liked most of the pay-per-view besides the zombies. That was really stupid. I think it was, that was, in my opinion, that was Cesaro's best match of his entire career. And, so if you saw Raw, well, you probably did, right now I'm recording this message while you're probably reviewing it right now because it's Tuesday night. I just finished watching NXT. And, anyway, if you notice, only Morrison was on Raw. I heard that supposedly Miz has a really bad torn ACL injury and might be serious. That's probably why he's not there. So, do you think they're actually going to push John Morrison as a single star and maybe make him serious very slowly? Maybe it'll be like what they were doing at Big E, a very slow, serious turn, even though I guess they completely forgot about that for Big E because now he's just stupid and funny again. But, anyway, that's my first question. Second, the main event of Raw, Kofi Kingston pinning Bobby Lashley. I wanted to scream, but my family was sleeping. You're probably going to have a rant on it. I won't be surprised. I wanted to rant, like, on Twitter or something, or Instagram or something, about this when I first saw it happen. I wanted to scream. So, do you think Kofi Kingston's going to get a WWE title shot? I feel like this is a sign they might do that. Maybe Hell in a Cell, which I'm scared. And, also, do you think because of this, maybe, possibly, if fans are back, once fans are back, well, I heard in July they'll be back for Money in the Bank July. Once fans are back, do you think because of this, maybe fans might start turning on the New Day? Because I think they could, possibly. Maybe boo them. And, yeah, that's really all I can think of to ask this week, and that's it. So thanks, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Kyle finishing things out again. Okay, John Morrison push. Do I think they'll do it? Maybe. And you know what? I hope they do. I've sat on this podcast many days, many weeks, many months, and trashed John Morrison and The Miz, and I stand by it. But that's as a duo when they're in their insufferable sophomoric humor team. John Morrison on his own, more serious? Let's see what happens, my friend. Let's see what happens. I'm down for it. I want it. I think Morrison's got more to give than being stuck in 2008 with The Miz. So, yes, I hope they do. And if The Miz injury is true, which Miz almost never gets hurt, so that's interesting to if he's ever been hurt, really, other than getting his teeth kicked out by AJ Styles a couple of years ago, he never gets hurt. So if that's true, this gives John Morrison an opportunity. Kofi Kingston title shot, yes. I want to scream as well. The one thing that you can sit happily on knowing is that the victories that Kofi Kingston got on Monday were extremely tainted. It's not as if he won with any kind of credibility. You know, they were fluke, tainted victories that he cannot stand on honorably. But that doesn't mean that WWE isn't positioning him for a title opportunity. And I think they are, because they are completely out of top babyfaces on Raw. I mean, there's just, they're just trying to, again, go to the well and pull out what 2018 had, or 2019. So as far as the fans turning on New Day when they return, I hope so. Can we just have an audience that understands that the New Day is the way beyond their expiration date and stop cheering for them because they have sing-along songs and they wear unicorn horns and just boo the hell out of them? I wouldn't mind even if they turned heel. If they're not going to break them up, at least turn them heel. But you know why they won't? Money. Money is the driving factor here because a lot of kids buy their merchandise, buy their unicorn horns, buy their cereal, their t-shirts, their wristbands, toilet paper, I don't know, whatever they have. They market a lot with the New Day, and their royalty checks must be through the roof. So to turn them heel or break them up would reduce not just the revenue of the wrestlers in the group that get a cut of all of the merchandise sold, but also WWE itself. So I don't think they're going to do it. I think it's, if they ever disband it, it's going to be quiet. It's not going to be a very ceremonial type of break. It's just going to have just happen. No conflict. I don't think there'll ever be one. I don't think, or if they break them up at all, maybe they're just forever tied at the hip. So, but I hope the fans turn on them and boo the holy hell out of them when they return. That's the kind of week-to-week response that I've been missing from fans that could have organically turned the New Day and many other stars, turned babyface and heel. That's the point of having a fan base there live with you every week. So, Kyle, thank you so much for your questions, and thank you to all the listeners for giving their 2 cents. And if you want to participate next week and you're new and you're like, hey, I want to do this, call us, 518-952-0247, or email us at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. All right, everybody, that is it for me this week, but I'll be back Sunday night with your week in review with a co-host. And until then, take care. I'll talk to you next time.
Hey, so if you guys haven't listened to the podcast Long Shot Leaders yet, you're missing out. And you may ask, what's so special about this podcast? Well, number one, it is hosted by Michael Stein. He's an entrepreneur, actor, filmmaker, comedian, and self-help expert. And he's come up with a really great idea for his show. What he does is tell stories of underdogs who found success. For example, some of his guests that he's had on, Sean Spector, he's the co-founder of Gamefly and Drop-Off. Bruce Valanche, he's a 6-time Emmy Award winner, writer, and actor. And most recently, he interviewed former WWE writer Vince Russo, and the conversation was awesome. I mean, we got insight from Vince that I have not heard from any other podcast, including what he believes makes a great wrestler, why some people can't stand Vince Russo today because of the on-screen heel character that he played. And he talked about something that means even more to him than the massive ratings that occurred during the Attitude Era. So guys, go check out Long Shot Leaders with Michael Stein. It's available on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. It's already got a perfect 5-star rating. I mean, that's unheard of with podcasts. So go check out Long Shot Leaders with Michael Stein. There is such a great diversity of hosts and topics that it will definitely inspire you, and you'll be able to find something that you can relate to. So go check out Long Shot Leaders today.